The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Back in my day, you had to get in between these two cones. It's a fun time to drive as an adult if you love weaving between 13-year-olds going 45 miles per hour on their phones with an unbuckled helmet. Back in my day, bikes didn't have motors. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, it's my lovely wife, my co-host, and my best friend, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Mm-hmm. She grabbed the blanket off your grandma's couch, threw it on.
I literally thought...
Smells like cat.
I thought I got rid of this, but I didn't.
I'm glad you didn't. It looks good.
I don't know about you guys, but I don't really like get into my winter wardrobe until like January.
Yeah.
And then I start digging. Like, right. Do I have sweaters?
Well, one thing that I've said on this podcast before is that, living in San Diego is probably the least relatable thing about us.
Yeah.
So, the idea that we didn't look for sleeves till January is probably unrelatable to a lot of these people.
1,000%. Also, because this studio is cold in January because of the lack of heat.
Cold in the winter, burning hot in the summer. Sorry, Derek Stroop. I know that was a hot episode for you.
I mean, I do think a lot of TV sets in Southern California don't always have central air. I don't know. They're like warehouses.
Yeah.
I think low budget ones.
Yeah. No, I think TV sets do, but, you know, they're union and stuff. Do you think that they have timers that they turn on or no?
Oh, well. Wait, what?
It's all right. We don't. Well, I had 4 or 5 minutes. You genuinely confused on that one. But no, I get what you mean though. It's Southern California. We've said on this before. Like, we had 10+ years where we did not have heating or AC in our house, and we were fine. A little cold, a little hot at times, but mm-hmm. You survived.
It's that coastal breeze.
It's that coastal breeze, baby.
Says all the landlords.
That being said, there was some cold mornings because, you know, it'll still get to the 30s at night, and that's cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Darn near freezing.
We are grateful for central air.
Desert by the sea.
Mm-hmm. As we were talking before. So anyways, today we're talking driving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have a new driver in our house. It's the cat.
It's official. No, we have 2 licensed drivers of our children, so we only have 1 more to go.
Yeah.
Should be a BOGO.
Is that how that works?
Buy two, get one free.
Yeah.
I know. Hmm. Buy one, get one. Yeah.
Yeah. Two licensed drivers, you get your third one free.
Yeah.
Now, do you mean the charges free or just the process?
All of it.
Yeah, you don't have to teach them.
Well, just like as parents know, specifically in California, this starts at like 15 if you want them to get their license around 16.
Yeah.
And so Gloria's birthday was October 30th. She turned 16, which means like a year ago, she was doing her portals online, like her little modules for training.
Right.
So this has been over a year.
Yeah. Takes a long time to get your license.
I literally took her to the DMV last March, and I actually scheduled it, had you take her. Mm-hmm. It was a week early.
Yep.
She wasn't quite 15 and a half. I just messed up my math.
This was to take her
to get
written test.
Her first written test. So, yeah, it's been like a whole year process. We've been thinking about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's lots of steps and steps and steps.
She passed, though, which mm-hmm. is great. So we're going to be talking a lot about that whole process. We asked you guys to share some of your own driver's ed, learning to drive horror stories of from your own personal lives, from your kids' lives, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a rite of passage, that's for sure.
It's great. Mm-hmm. As she said yesterday, having your license is aura.
She also said all my friends have BMWs.
Well, you know, she also told us that 12 of her friends were in Europe over winter break. And you're like, okay. And we tracked that down. And one was in Europe and one was in Mexico. And you're like, but, you know, FOMO. It's a real thing.
It really is.
We did that. You and I were just having like a pleasant New Year's Eve.
And then
every comic alive was like, here's all my achievements from the year. And you're like, was that a trend we were supposed to do?
Yeah, it's like, here's every famous person I saw this year.
And every famous person that
like
that saw me and came, and you're like, okay.
It's like
calling every famous person in my address.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a...
Some of them just posted their bank accounts. No. All right. That would be funny.
It was a very braggy.
Yeah.
Just their investment statements.
Yes. Current net worth. Wow. I would almost respect that more. Like, if we're going to do end of year brags, like, don't be like, I met Steve Martin. Be like, hey, man, I'm a millionaire now. And you're like, oh, wow, that's great. You really worked hard for that. It's cool you met Steve Martin, but your grandkids are more grateful for that other one.
It is, I don't know. There's so many ways to brag, so
yeah,
have at it on the internet.
The CEO Instagram came out of CEO of Instagram came out this week and was like, kind of saying like, hey man, we're trying to get rid of like this like AI kind of slop feel and wanting stuff that feels personal. So like the messier the better. But then at the same time, TikTok came out and said like, hey, we want to see studio sets, essentially. Like, we want to see... It came out, they sent things like, we on a tripod with good lighting. TikTok's like, we want it to look more like TV. So, I don't know. It's interesting times, but...
Was that specific
know,
to comedy?
No, just content creators.
Oh, they want... Like,
they
don't want you in your kitchen or your closet.
According to TikTok, they're wanting less of that and more... trying to take from... Yeah, I think they're trying to take from YouTube and television. You know?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. I'm just gonna keep writing dumb jokes about cities. That's what I do. Anyways, any of you came out to Houston this last weekend, thank you. I was at a new club there, the Houston Punchline, downtown, which I know some of my fans don't like going downtown. I know that was a huge hassle for you. So thank you. It was a very nice club. It's a Live Nation room. Molly, who books the SF Punchline, she opened up this club, or at least helps run it, and she brought me down there, which is great. Had a great time. Gonna keep coming back to that club.
Mm-hmm.
Most tickets we've ever sold out there, Houston. So thank you. We're growing in Houston. You couldn't tell it by that Sunday show, but hey, we did it.
It's five shows.
It's five shows. It's a lot of shows. It's so,
and you were in Dallas last weekend, so it's your Texas.
So a lot of Texas. A lot of Texas. So I was going to tell you one funny Stranger Danger story. I'll talk more about the Houston weekend and next week episode, but there
it's
was...
been a bit since we've had a Stranger Danger.
Yeah, it has been. So this is... So I wake up in Houston to a marathon. There was just a marathon in downtown Houston. Big one, actually. A lot of people had flown out and did not help my ticket sales. I don't mean that as like, they took away from it. It's like, hey, if you think there's some extra people in town because then they'll go to your show. It did not. But I woke up and where I was at in the city and everywhere that I wanted to go as far as to get coffee or breakfast or whatever was like on the other side of the marathon. And it was just a big, that video I sent you was like 600 meters to go or whatever.
Yeah.
That was just one long street. And so it was a long street blocked off that I couldn't cross. They don't like, they don't, it's not like a cross country race in a park where they're like, just wait and then you can walk across. Yeah. These are cops. It's a huge ordeal to put on a marathon. It's crazy, you know, and they do it on a Sunday morning for a reason because they're like, downtown's dead. So the streets are blocked off and I'm like, where's a crossing? How do I get across this? You know? And they put up temporary bridges, which I'd never seen before.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a whole situation. So it is crazy. Yeah. So they have these temporary stairs and then that goes over and then it goes down. And then I was like, oh, this would probably be a good place to watch the race if you wanted to. No, they prevent that. They put up big old walls so nobody stands up there and watches the race because that would be a good place to watch the race, you know. So it's a whole ordeal. Listen, the older I get, the more impressed I am any time anybody pulls off any type of plan or event.
Yeah, so much work.
So much work, right? So I cross over the bridge, I go and get my coffee, and I come back. And then...
you have to join the marathon.
Yeah. I did some light running. I know, I'm like perturbed that I have to do this bridge. And I'm like, these people are running 26 miles. And I'm like, I got to walk an extra four blocks. I need my caffeine.
And then everyone's like, you in town for the marathon?
Yeah. They're like, my nipples are bleeding. You're like, well, I just woke up, though. So I go and I get my coffee coming.
Comics need their coffee.
But... because this is the only place to cross seemingly within like a half a mile, very crowded, a lot of people crossing. So I'm walking back. What does this not account for? Who?
Strollers.
Strollers.
All right, wheelchairs?
Of course, wheelchairs as well. Yeah. Wheelchairs and strollers.
Okay.
So great. So the people who need the most help are the most inconvenienced in this scenario. So I get there. And I just have a face that people ask favors from. I get asked a favor.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. So I'm about to go up the stairs, two AirPods in, and a mom scanning. I see her looking.
Who's that dad? Who's nice?
I see her looking. She's got a stroller with the jogging stroller. The wheeled one, two wheel, one in the front,
three wheeler,
and she goes, "Excuse me, sir." I'm like, I knew as soon as I saw you scanning, you're like, that guy, friendly looking dad wearing a Bucky's hoodie. That's my guy right there. So she goes, "Sir, do you mind?" And I go, and I don't even understand at first because I'm just listening to music, and then I was like, "Oh." Yeah, she's like, "Do you mind helping me carry my stroller?" And my first instinct is that she will take the baby out of
that
the stroller.
That was my next question. Yeah.
So what
you
do
have
you
a
do?
Coffee too.
So what do you do in this scenario? I'm free-handed at this point.
Oh, okay.
So what if you're in this scenario, Mel, and maybe your husband or your sister is running the marathon? What do you do?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Does she have to get over she has to move because
the
runner.
She probably
moved.
Has to go cheer a runner because the marathon community is so supportive. There's a lot of, I
like
think.
Mile markers.
Yeah, cheering, da 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 da. The question is, what is the bigger favor to ask of somebody? To carry a stroller with your baby in it, with you, two hands on the baby, or two sets of hands on the baby.
Yeah, front and back. Or,
to carry your baby, or yeah, to carry a whole stroller. And she decided...
Is the baby asleep?
No.
I think I would have taken the baby and had you carry the stroller.
Right, so we carried...
The stranger.
Huh?
You, the stranger.
To me, that is the right thing to do and the least biggest favor to ask. Second, the biggest favor to ask would be like, carry my baby, I'll carry the stroller. Yeah. That's insane behavior.
Yeah.
Even though carrying someone's baby is less of an inconvenience than carrying their stroller.
Yeah, or especially if it's got a bunch of bags.
Yeah, so she met in the middle and she was like, can you carry
the front?
Help me carry the stroller.
Yeah.
So now we get in this debate of who should be doing what, because you traditionally
up the stairs.
To me, traditionally the dad would always go backwards because
it's heavier.
It's heavier and riskier.
High risk, yeah.
High risk, right? But this is not my child. So if anybody should be presuming the risk, it's her. So she carries the handle part of the stroller up the stairs, and I'm carrying the one wheel, making dead eye contact with this baby, who's like one and looking at me like, who are you? What is happening? I'm suddenly inverted.
Yeah.
And it's like 30 stairs. It's a pretty... In this baby, she's looking at me, and I'm looking at this baby, and I'm like, my back kind of hurts. This is like I'm lifting something upstairs all of a sudden.
If the baby's one, it's like 20-ish pounds.
Yeah. It's a significant haul.
I don't know.
And then we get to the top, and we're going over, and I'm like, what is she going to ask me to do here? Because...
You guys could turn it. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, in the sidestep?
So then the baby's leaning back.
Yeah. And then she, she goes, I think it's best that you go backwards. So now I'm going down.
Oh, my God. With the one wheel?
With the one wheel. Baby face down.
Oh, no. Oh.
So I'm holding one wheel, carrying this strange baby. Down,
the
walking.
Biggest ass.
I'm
60 stairs.
I'm so
30 and 30.
I'm so nervous because I'm walking backwards with somebody else's baby in my hand.
This is my instinct. Why I said you should take the baby out is because at the San Diego Zoo they have all these escalators, and it says take your baby out of the stroller.
Yeah.
When you get on the escalator, which I didn't always do. Because if you have one adult and like two or three kids, you're like, and a stroller. Yeah. But it's like a...
The only real answer is build the course different so that you can have a crossing if you're in a wheelchair or crutches or disabled walker, you have no chance. But the stroller mom... Really relied on the, it was quite an ordeal. That was my marathon. Yeah.
There's these videos from the New York Marathon. Have you guys seen them?
Mm-mm.
Where the Hasidic Jews are crossing the marathon course.
Oh.
Because they have to get to work or church, and they're running with their kids, but it's like. They have to live their lives.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Right.
Yeah.
They're running through a marathon.
Listen, marathons in cities, it's going to be crowded like that, you know?
Yeah. And you can't... if it's a Sunday, they're going to go to their place of worship.
It was so funny because I was looking at the marathon community and I think a lot of people feel the way about church the way that I feel about marathons and that they're like, good for you. It's a lot to ask early on in the morning. It's not for me. It's a very supportive community. I think you're making a positive difference in your life and hopefully a community, and that's great. It's very supportive. That was the nice thing is how many people, if someone's running a marathon, it seems like, loved ones are very supportive.
Yeah, I guess people will watch the finish lines and like weep and cheer because
I mean, it's an amazing accomplishment. Yeah.
There's a lot of like, you know, I did this.
And apparently the guy that won it, Joel ran against.
Joel raced him.
My son texted me and he's like, hey, I raced against this guy a couple months ago.
So he's the New Mexico.
New Mexico State. Yeah.
A guy that won D1.
Yeah, he's
NCAA
unbelievable.
Cross country.
I don't remember his name.
That's his first name.
But anyway, so that was Joel my Stranger Danger story. Yeah, Joel sent it to me. He's like,
it was his first marathon too.
Yeah,
and he won
it.
It's like, those runners.
Runners, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Houston, thanks for coming out. We did have some people at the marathon who went to my show. They were wearing the medals. There was a couple of it was nice. There was two girls who would run it, and then they had like husband, parents. It was nice. They were all there. They flew in from New Hampshire. It was the girl I told you, she tied her PR, which is very hard to do. And mathematically a challenge. Yeah. And it's got to be a bit discouraging. I try not to talk about it too much, but she'd run her sixth marathon and the girl next to her just finished her fourth. And I was like, that's crazy that you have the only friend where you running four marathons looks unimpressive because she's run six. You're like, oh, only four. So
let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Anyways, thanks for coming out. Speaking of shows, we got some coming up, everybody. Thanks for coming out, Charleston, and I think Raleigh. I think this is coming out in February. I may be in the Gulf of America right now. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever this comes out. Thanks for coming out. But upcoming shows, everybody. We'll just start here. Guys, I got some upcoming shows. Boise, the Knitting Factory. I've never played a Knitting Factory. They're kind of like a known...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you've been. I'm sure you've gone to.
I played Knitting Factory LA multiple times.
Yeah,
that used to be old.
They don't do a ton of comedy, and there's certain cities that don't have clubs like Boise, Boise, out of respect to Boise, they're like kind of an in between size venue, like smaller than a theater, but you know, bigger than like a tiny little like cabaret type club. So I'm playing Knitting Factory in Boise. And then we go and record the next comedy special.
Woo!
In Salt Lake City.
Valentine's
By we, I mean the people
weekend.
In this room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Salt Lake City, February 13th and 14th. Then I go to Phoenix the 19th through 22nd. March, Chicago, Oshkosh, Washington, D.C., Everett. Everett's almost sold out. North Enders, Everett Historic Theater, if you guys want tickets to that. So Tacoma... We just added a seventh show, I think, on the Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of Tacoma coming up.
A lot of shows.
Philadelphia, we just added this Belleville, Illinois, all right, which is just outside of St. Louis. I'm going to do anything with the Courtney show, the radio show out there. Big old show out there. So come out to that. April 11th, Belleville, Illinois, St. Louis area. Fort Wayne, Portland. Portland, we just added, I think, an eighth show. Spokane, Vancouver, in May. We are The second show is almost sold out, so we're not sure what we're going to do because it's Sunday and it's surrounded by Spokane. So I'm like, I guess I could maybe go to Vancouver the Wednesday and then go to Spokane and then go back to Vancouver. But we're also, yeah. I was like, hey, do you guys got a bigger venue? That's a lot of 7-hour drive. We'll see. I'm sure there's direct flights.
International.
But Vegas just added Birmingham, my first time headlining the Stardome, May 14th. That's right before I go to Atlanta, Columbus, Cincinnati, Louisville, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Denver, Eugene.
All right.
Check it out, everybody.
Woo.
Lots of dates. Sorry it's an ambiguous thing about when we're doing weekend recaps and what is when and where is time.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot going on. So back in our time zone, our timeline, today is February 14th, 2022.
No.
No. Today's January, whatever today 13th. Is. January 13th, 2026. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a weird thing with Tuesdays in that this week I'm out with Nate and I get home later on a Tuesday because Nate is so big, he's just like, I do North Dakota on a Monday, which is insane behavior.
Yeah.
And then the following...
Charleston,
I'm on a Tuesday. And then shortly thereafter, we're going to be at the Gulf of America on the cruise, the Nate Land at Sea. So, Andy, thanks for being flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
Just banking them.
It's probably for the best because in real time, I will have known the results of Seahawks playoff games. And, like, if future me is either going to be in a really bad, sad mood or an obnoxiously good mood, you know.
Start hitting the walls.
I know. You know,
he does this, like, wall pound thing.
Yeah. I was just going to give it an example.
It's a lot of claps.
It's like this, like, touchdown, I go.
Yeah, you're going to, that loud claps right there.
It's a lot of that.
Yeah.
I was going to do it on this wall, but the... Same with
ball. Yeah, it probably
and then the wall would
punch a hole in that wall.
Yeah. Can we work this in as an Easter egg on our set somewhere in for Salt Lake? Can we just have the Easter? No, okay, never
mind. Sorry, I was like wall punching. I didn't.
It doesn't. I got hyped. I was just thinking about.
You got a lot coming up. We also have a Patreon Zoom transition. Tuesday, February 10th.
That got me going. I was just like, oh, man, where's the game? The bad news is I got to watch the game with people this weekend, which, like, one of the worst things is a sports fan. Okay, one of the worst things as a sports fan is to watch the game with people that don't care about the outcome of the game.
Yeah.
Or maybe they like sports, but they're not rooting for the same team as you.
Yeah.
I like to watch the game by myself. Ideally by myself. That's number one. 1A, solo.
Well, you're introverted and you're an empath. Mm. So the experience gets like tainted.
If people get on their phones, I get angry.
Yeah.
I'm like, just don't be here with me. If you're not into it, just... don't be here with me. And this is my stuff. I'm not justifying any of this behavior,
by the way. No. My youngest now is a hard contrarian. Like, it doesn't matter who my team is playing. He will root for them. He's like, who are they playing? Oh, that's who I'm rooting for.
Yeah,
I'm like, you're 6 years old.
Yeah.
You don't get to hold this kind of thing over me.
Yeah.
He's going to ask for a jersey. For the other team for Christmas.
He did. He got two Golden State Warriors jerseys because of this.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, oh, you're just not a Lakers fan just because.
Hilarious.
He like became a Utah Mammoth fan for no reason.
Yeah.
One night I watched a game with him. I stay home with him. The Ducks get absolutely destroyed. Mm-hmm. He falls asleep like second period. He's like, oh, fine. It's all good. I'm like, why do I do this with you?
Yeah, it's the old thing about watching a movie with people. And you're like, you don't have to pause it when I go to the bathroom. You're like, okay, well, this means more to me than you. And now I feel embarrassed.
It's just the interests.
Yeah, you know, I like that. Yeah. 1A is actually I like watching with Joel, my son. So that's it. But I think I'm going to be most likely what's going to happen is there's usually a TV around and I'll be the one Seahawks fan amongst like five or six other generic sports fans who are just like enjoying a game. And you're like,
playoff game.
Yeah, but it's not really like that for me right now. But it's fine. It's fine. I'm not a victim. I think I'll be in, I might be in Yakima at the time. I might be, I don't even know where we're at this weekend. So can't wait for everyone to call it Yakima all weekend.
I think it's Sunday. I think it's Saturday or Sunday.
The Yakima or the game? The game's Saturday, I believe. So,
okay.
Anyways, go Hawks. Go Patreon Zoom.
Woo.
Let's talk some driver's ed. As we mentioned, we officially have another driver on our house. If any of you guys don't know, it's much harder to get a driver's license than it used to be.
Yes.
When we were kids, it was like, hey, can you go sit in a class for a few hours and then pass the test? And then for our parents, they were like, their generation was like, can you reach the pedals?
Yeah. Write your name down.
Write your name down.
Here's your license.
Yeah. And then we were born and they're like, hey, loosely strap that child into a car seat in the front seat with one hand while you hold a beer with your other hand. But
it's
come a long way. They have to log a lot of hours and it's for the best.
State by state. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For children to get safer, you know, it involves a lot more work for the parents.
A lot more work.
Yeah.
A lot more hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So California is like 50 hours of driving with an adult.
Which I'm sure everybody's doing.
10 at night. It is interesting because like with the sports seasons, we did the bulk of the driving this winter.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a lot. You know, they start out so bad at driving.
Yeah.
Like with the pedals.
Yeah. You're like, well, they don't know how to do any of it, but like teaching your kid to drive is the ultimate do as I say, not as I do. Because one of the worst parts about teaching a teen to drive is now they're getting a little snippy. At
yeah,
yours, they're
you're
like,
driving.
You didn't do a complete 3-second stop. Shut up. Shut up. I've been driving for 30 years.
Yeah, when I added Clorit to our insurance plan, they were like, thank you for your loyalty for 23 years or something. I was like, is that how long I've been driving? I was like, how do you guys know that?
Yeah. I am not open for the critique of my
beginner driver
onto my driving skills. Just be thankful that I've never been in an accident with you in the car. Chill. I'm not going to do anything super reckless. It's hard for me to explain to you. Hard for me to explain to you that legally, no. When you have a green without an arrow, you're not supposed to just go in the intersection and wait till it turns yellow and then go. That is by the book, not how you're supposed to do it. But we live in a society where you have to go eventually. And, you know.
Or people will drive around you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't go.
Yeah. You ran a red.
I think it's funny because your 15-year-old is like telling you how to drive. And you're like, you have been distracting me in the car for 15 years.
I can
drive while you scream and ask for snacks and try and get out of your car seat.
Yeah.
And
I was a great driver until you were back there squishing gold seed. And I was a great driver until you were back there throwing goldfish at the front seat.
Yeah, throwing toys at me. I can drive through anything.
Yeah. That's very funny. They don't teach you that in driver's ed, like about
how to drive with a baby.
Yeah.
They need to. You know how they do like home ec or like
you carry the bag of flour.
Carry the bag of the flour. Yeah. They need to do that for driver's ed too. Like, hey, you sure you want a baby? Put this bag of flour back here, but it's going to yell for 45 minutes straight and then puke. No, 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 no. That'd be a helpful skill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A driver instructor that shows up like, oh, this is my buddy Curtis in the back seat.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and let's get started.
Hilarious.
He's been up all, he's been up all night.
Yeah.
He's about four drinks in.
Ruh-roh. that is another interesting thing, though, is like, so it's never been harder to get your teen a driver's license. They have to do like 50 hours of driving, all the tests. It's expensive. Yeah. Then they have all these legislation.
It's not at your high school anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Unless you would like to put them on a motorized bike. And then all you have to do is charge it the night before.
Yeah.
It's crazy how hard it is to get a car and how easy it is to get these like crazy dangerous e-bikes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, your kid is way less safe in that e-bike.
Yeah.
One hit and it's over. It's crazy. I think e-bikes are going to be the thing that we look back in like 10 years like, whoops, sorry, we forgot to put laws on those.
I mean, social media, yeah, totally. Same idea. Yeah, we needed more guardrails, but we didn't have them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a fun time to drive as an adult if you love weaving between 13-year-olds going 45 miles per hour on their phones with an unbuckled helmet.
On an e-bike.
Just zzz, yep. Zzz, mm-hmm. It's crazy behavior.
Not stopping.
It's so dangerous. Yeah.
It's wild that we're a first world country and people want it to be a third world country on the streets.
Yeah, well, that's what, I mean, Mel's brother lived in Vietnam for a long time. Yeah, like that's how
they all had mopeds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was barely any traffic rules. You know, they just went.
I'm glad we missed that because our son would have wanted one.
Yeah, and he was the kid who rode his bike around the neighborhood. And he did get in an accident, not with a car, but he did get an accident on his bike. So imagine if it was motorized.
I know. Yeah.
You know? So our daughters are a little more cautious and, you know, they're not like out exploring the streets, you know, like our son was on a bike.
Current traffic laws have revealed two boomer takes that I have. Two back in my days. One is you don't have to parallel park in your driving test anymore.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, back in my day,
so much pride. Yeah. In my parallel park. These kids.
Back in my day, you had to get in between these two cones, and you had to do it with three kids from your high school in the car, learning how to do it with you.
They weren't on their phones; they were watching.
Yeah.
Is parallel parking a necessary life skill? No, of course not. You can just drive eventually and find a spot that you do not have to parallel park. Mm-hmm. But it's a real boomer take. The things were harder when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You used to have to pull exactly up next to the window and start backing back, tilt, but don't go full tilt yet. And then you hit the curb early and you get embarrassed and just drive away.
My boomer take is I had to park on a hill in the rain in the dark.
Yeah,
for high school.
Well, you did.
Parallel
park.
Yeah.
You went to a very urban school in that regard. Mm-hmm. My other boomer
without
take
without a parking lot.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my other boomer take is back in my day, bikes didn't have motors. You would get on a bike and you were the motor. You would just. Your legs were the motor, and it could go maybe downhill, top speed, like 17 miles per hour. And you would probably still get hurt.
Run into a fence or something.
Yeah, but at least you're not going to get jet-propelled 50 feet into a ravine somewhere. Back in my day, bikes didn't have motors.
It was better.
Lucky if we had three speeds.
Yeah. I just don't know. I just don't know where these kids need to go so fast. That's what I don't. You know what I mean? Like a bike.
Yeah.
A bike is plenty fast enough to get you to school and back. And if you have anywhere further to go, then that's what cars are for.
Well, I do know that kids aren't getting their licenses because they do have rideshare.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Uber and Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, I had a friend I drove around, two friends that didn't have their licenses.
Yeah.
And I drove them around. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can bum rides off your friends or your parents. But it is more expensive. And I think, like, home is different.
Yeah.
With your phone and your video games, like, home is controlled.
Yeah.
You know, like, in the sense that you can have this online community and we didn't have that.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that a little bit before, that Gen Z is not super interested in relying in driving.
It's down for sure. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you have the stat there, Andy, but the stat I have is from the Department of Transportation tracking the age of licensed drivers, and it's shows that 25% of 16-year-olds have a driver's license.
Wow.
Man.
Yeah. So I mean, that's definitely low. Down. That's,
I mean, as far as like life milestones go, I mean, getting your driver's license at our age was just like, there is nothing more important.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like my way out.
Freedom. Freedom.
Like my daughter said yesterday, she got her license and she said, having your license is aura. Okay.
But it is, you know, car, gas, insurance, driver's ed. Time and money.
So much of what societal stats have to society, like that you see right now, have to do with the economy and the job market, which is like, well, it's harder for a 16-year-old to get a job, so they don't need a car, you know, because my daughter was like, maybe I can get a job at AMC. And I'm like, I go to AMC and those are not high schoolers working those jobs.
Yeah, they're college.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But anyways, so back in my day, you had to parallel park. And bikes didn't have motors.
Mm. And there were jobs for teenagers.
There were jobs for teenagers.
I did a paper out at 11.
On a bike without a motor.
Bring back paper out.
I know. I just don't buy that your kid needs to get to school that fast. Because... again, a bike can get you there. A bike can get you there. You do this, not need any. In our neighborhood.
This is a very big issue right now.
I see in our neighborhood kids on e-bikes to go 1 mile. You're like, well, get your bike. Just get your bike, man.
I think
you're
like,
going to get hit. It's so dangerous. It's so dangerous.
But I do think Gloria brought this up yesterday. She said an e-bike is like a $2,000.
Yeah.
You know, and a car.
But they're not licensed.
You can get on Marketplace and get one for like literally $200 now. But that's exactly what you were going to say. I was going to say, like, why aren't we getting licenses?
That's the point.
These?
The point, it's so dangerous. I don't know how old you have to be. I don't think there are any restrictions on them. It feels like, no, I mean.
There's none. There's no.
Or insurance plans.
Like cities, like independent cities are starting.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to have some kind of code that's doing this. But like, I'm with, like, that is my
14-year-old boys cannot have motors. They can't walk straight. They can't think straight. They can't talk straight. God knows they can't drive straight.
So it's interesting you said 14 because in like my friend in Iowa.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, farm living's a different thing.
Point,
that is rural.
Yeah,
it's harder to get like a dirt bike street legal for someone who has a license than it is to just get an e-bike and just ride in the street.
Yeah,
like that's like that's an upside down system.
Mm-hmm. But
totally.
Hey, that being said, I'm glad we avoided a kid needing an e-bike. And I understand that people have them for a reason. I get it. There are always exceptions. Hey, my kid, we live far away from the school. They need it. Blah, blah, blah. Your kid's safe. Great. Love that. I'm just talking about firsthand experience.
In our neighborhood, yeah.
That being said, we avoided it. You did a great job logging all these hours with our daughter and our son. I logged a few myself, but you logged the majority of them. This is one of the highest compliments that I can give to you. We were at the DMV yesterday, and they were like asking for all the forms, and you handed them all of them, and the DMV person looked at you and said, good job. You know how hard it is to get a DMV person to compliment you on your forms work?
Well, I will say the first time I showed up for Joel to take his driving test, they said, you don't have an appointment today. Mm. And so every time you got to like have receipts and number, like the appointment numbers. So like I was just grateful that the appointment was still there because Joel's got canceled on me. And we had to reschedule. So that was a relief. And then, yeah, it was a relief I had all the right forms, because that's a whole thing. And then the biggest tip, I would say, to pass the driving test was we were at a different DMV than Joel was at. And it's right by Balboa Park, so it's like urban.
Yeah.
And I looked on YouTube. I watched this. It was literally just someone on Google Maps, like, doing the course, the DMV driving test course.
Modern era, man.
And I wrote the turns down. And then my daughter and I went and we did it three times the night before her test. And then morning of, we did it again. And
real diligence here. This is why you need one in the clouds and one in the weeds.
Yeah.
Man.
And she was literally.
And I'm like, we should go to Japan.
And we almost did 2 hours on Sunday night. Her test was Monday morning. And she was like, can we go? I've got it. Can we get boba? And I'm like, why do we have to get gas right now?
Yeah.
Like, we're on a mission, babe. You're going to pass.
Oh, yeah. Her trying to not get gas is so funny.
Why do we have to get gas again?
Gloria is a good driver. She told me she drives like an NPC. Like, she's like very calm and does not make any. And that's great. She's not great at reading the gauges. She's going to be like me in the. I mean, my first year of driving, I straight ran out of gas driving 4 times because I would just not look at it. And I would forget. And I'd be like, oh,
yeah,
car's out of gas. And then you walk to a gas station and, you know. Back in my day,
now,
and you had to kind of know where a gas station, you just started walking the direction you hoped one was because you didn't know. And then you would walk far enough and you're like, is it the other way? Should I go back? Or am I better to stay on this route, continuing to go, but am I getting further away from the gas? I don't know. I don't know where I am. I'm 16. I don't know where anything is. I've just been riding in the car for 16 years.
And I just, like, on Sundays, my dad would just take all the cars to get gas.
Yeah.
So I don't know these problems.
Well, that's true. I kind of fill your gas tank up now, too, right? It's an easy thing, guys. Just, or whoever.
Yeah, you definitely do that. Yeah.
Do you got more stuff on there for us, or do you want to get to some horror stories?
Let me just check. I had that percentage. That was...
I also saw 1 in 4 kids fail their driving test.
Did you see that?
You told me that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was pretty much my second percentage was in 2019 in San Diego. This is from the DMV. There were almost 7,000 tests, driving tests given, and it was a 74% passing rate.
There you go.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So, because it was interesting. She had a friend who went to this DMV a couple weeks ago and didn't pass because the bus lanes are very, and the bike lanes are very tricky. And so.
That means urban driving.
It's
Yeah.
It's like tough. I mean, so many dog walkers and pedestrians, all of it.
And I would err on that. Yeah. Like, if it's because the test got harder to make things safer, then good.
You know, of course.
Versus the opposite of like.
Oh, I gave Gloria a compliment. I was like, you passing a test near Balboa in Hillcrest in this like urban area with construction. You're like, I mean, that's real.
Potholes.
That's real driving. Yeah.
It was the real deal.
Yeah.
And we were the same way. We're sitting there waiting for her to get back. It's like 15, 20 minutes. And you're like, okay, but if she doesn't pass, I get another month free of insurance. You know, like, that's saving me money.
Now we're saving money, yeah.
Or we get to practice more. But I did not want to schedule again at the DMV and, you know.
Well, that's the good news for you.
Headache.
Is thank you for doing it. We are, you know, Claire's 11, almost 12.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're another 3 years out from almost exactly 3 years from this again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it is like, if you do all this work, you do spend a lot of time in the car with them, even though it's stressful.
Yeah.
Because this kind of starts, like, unlocks the next stage of childhood, which is like semi-independence in the sense that they can go places.
It's amazing.
Do things how without you.
It's to me, so. To me, the. I think you might have said this, so forgive me if I'm saying your line. Them getting their license is the beginning of the end of their childhood. And that they are just, this is a really, them not needing rides from you anymore is a real start to their independence and of not needing you anymore. Now, they still need you. Joel still needs us. He's in college. We pay for everything. But
there's like, they're baby adults.
They're baby adults.
Like they're trying out some adult things like driving.
They're trying to adult it on a little bit. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, congrats to you. Congrats to Gloria. Mm-hmm. If that BOGO deal comes through, then Claire's free in a few years. Yeah.
She was actually the funniest. She was like, in the car, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And, you know, which Gloria was driving.
Gloria is like already a mean driver to the people in the car. She's like, well, I'm the driver. I get to pick. And you're like, all right, well, bye. Yeah. Can we get a paint job? No.
Paint job?
Yeah. All right, let's do some horror stories that we got here. This is an email that we got. If you guys ever want to send us emails, we're at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. We asked you to send us some driving horror stories. This one right here is, for the sake of my child, this is anonymous. In the state we live in, Midwest babies can start driving at 14. That's what he said. We live in the largest city in our state. Our driver waited until 15 to take driver's ed. They then worked through the different stages of permits and finally was able to drive to their own age at 16. Despite my protest, they were certain they were ready to drive to school solo on a, quote, special day, which meant alternative parking at the football stadium rather than regular school parking lot that had been practiced 100 times. We nervously watched the car and driver make their way to school via Life 360. We had a sigh of relief when the car came to a resting place in the parking lot. However, that relief was short-lived as my husband received a panicked, tearful cry telling him there had been an accident. Our driver was used to having to pick their spots in the parking lot. However, this day the admin staff was directing traffic, and upon pulling into the, quote, assigned spot, our flustered driver confused the brake and gas and hitting not one but two parked cars as the school admin watched. That's right, the first solo drive ever hit two parked cars. Thankfully, there wasn't too much damage to the cars, and we joke about it now. As we're just beginning the driving journey with our second driver, we often quip, as long as you only hit one car on your first day. I like to think the most valuable lesson learned that day is maybe, just maybe, you should listen to mom. Signed, a backseater from the early days. That's really, really nice.
That's
really good.
So top.
All right, why don't you read this one here, Mel?
Okay, Lydia says, when I was learning how to drive, my driving instructor told me that part of the driver's test, including holding down on the horn for a full 30 seconds. So he had me practice that in a grocery store parking lot. After a painful 30 seconds and lots of confused stares, he just said, ha ha, just kidding. And then we just continued on with our usual lesson.
You ever look, sometimes you do look at these driver's ed instructors and you're like, this is your job? This is what you do for a living? This was your thing? You're like, I'm going to teach teens to drive.
It's a very niche profession.
Yeah, because they're doing a thing we all know how to do. they're a little more well versed in it, sure, but like, you know,
yeah, we know how to do it, but we don't know how to teach it per se. But yeah,
I mean, no, we do teach it.
Well, we have, yes,
yeah.
But I felt like the second instructor was kind of pitting me and my kid against each other. Because he'd be like, what do you think she needs to work on? And then she'd be like, your mom thinks you need to work on this. And he's like trying to get the tea and stuff.
Yeah, like, okay. That's really funny. Yeah. And listen, I guess ultimately what it is you have to be very patient and kind of fearless because this is a kid you don't know. You know, and they don't do the thing where you have the driver's ed car. Like, we used to have the driver's ed car.
No, they do. They come to your house in the driving car.
Oh, see, this shows how Melissa did all the... I missed all those lessons. And well, I thought they were in our car.
You do them on the weekend, and they do have a break.
Yeah.
But for the first lesson, it's 2 hours. I went on both of the first lessons. Because I was like, I have to... learn how to teach this.
Right. This and real diligent parent.
I know. I did not do the second and third because, you know.
Yeah.
It's a lot. But the first lesson with my son, they had him go up the steepest hill in La Mesa.
Yeah.
Like, he had not left a parking lot. And then he's driving.
Yeah.
And I'm in the back seat, like, holding on for my life. But... I mean, he has a brake.
I mean, you're the only one in the car without any control.
Yeah, he's trained hundreds, thousands of children. So I know you have to let them, you have to put them on the road, and you're going to have to do this.
Let them.
Let them.
I know. Let them.
Yeah. Let them drive.
Let them wreck your car while you're in it.
Yeah, this way you don't get a paint job. All right. This is from Frank. In New Jersey, to get your permit, you must complete 6 hours of behind-the-wheel training with a certified driving school. I was 16, and my instructor switched between paying attention to a baseball game on the radio and yelling through the whole first two-hour session. At one point, I almost got out and walked home. I went for the second class and hated it even more. My parents complained and found out my first instructor was nicknamed Wild Bill the Drunk. What a way to learn. It wasn't that funny in 10th grade, but looking back on it, my parents and I still laugh at the time they paid a cranky drunk to teach me how to drive. That's what I'm saying. You're like, who ends up in this profession? Either, you know, it's got a...
Randos.
I mean, if you Randos. Learn from that guy, I mean, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Our driving school, they have like the operator, you know, like the front desk woman, and she's... amazing.
Yeah.
All day, she just, people call and she explains the whole process.
Right, right.
And then assigns them a driving instructor and an appointment time. She is the best.
Wow. That's good work, man.
Yeah.
Why don't you hit this one? This is Sheena.
All right.
By the way, this is in the Dustin Nickerson Comedy Fans Facebook group. That's where all these are coming from.
Okay.
Give that a join if you'd like to join a conversation.
Looks like we have two Sheenas.
Yeah, back-to-back Sheenas.
I grew up in a small town. Driver's Ed was during the school day. We could sign up to drive during our study halls. The instructor was the PE teacher / football coach. We would leave the school, drive to his house, drive to the one gas station in town where he would get coffee, and then drive to where his wife worked, where he would go in a bit for a chat, and then back to school. I never once drove on the interstate, on a more than 2-lane highway, or anything like that. Then I went to college in the big city and had to learn about one-ways and parallel parking really quick.
I love it. This is from Sheena as well. I think a different Sheena. I helped a brand new driver learn a very important lesson. When watching the lights turn, make sure you know which light goes with your lane. The turning lane next to us went, and the driver saw them go, so he went too, right into our trunk. The poor kid has just bought the car that morning and was taking his friends on a ride. When me and my 7 or 8 month pregnant belly bump got out of the car, it just hit his face, dropped. This was a number of years ago. I remember he had to use our cell phone to call his dad. We helped teach him how to report an accident. that you stay put until the police tell you to move, and that even if you have a new car, you really need to carry your insurance card with you. All valuable lessons he hasn't forgotten, says this poor kid on his first day driving with his friends in the car, rear-ended a pregnant woman. He didn't have a phone or his insurance card.
We live by a college, and I've been rear-ended two or three times by college kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the first thing they do is call their parents.
Yeah. All right, why don't you hit this one, this Amanda?
I was the third to learn to drive in 5 years, so my mother's nerves were shot. After a month, she refused to do it again with me, so I could only drive with my dad. Due to hectic schedules, I could only drive to lunch after church on Sundays. Turns out I passed my driver's test with the highest score and am the only child out of the four of us to not total a car in high school.
Oh,
it
man.
Must have been... It must have worked out best this way.
That's hilarious. That dad sure brings that up a lot.
Well, yeah.
This is from Amanda. We've gone through this with two of our three now. When our oldest was learning, he was constantly hitting curbs, not driving over per se, but running up against, and particularly the ones that jut out more from a sidewalk. Let's just say he had the tendency to really hug the shoulder. In any case, despite having just replaced the tires on our car, we found ourselves needing to once again replace a tire to one too many curb because of one too many curb incidents. One thing for sure, nothing feels like you're totally surrendering your life and giving up control like sitting in the passenger seat the first time your kid drives on the road. It is humbling for sure. I agree. It is very, very scary.
Yes.
A couple more. This one's from Billy. I failed my first.
Hit a nerve.
Yeah. I know we got a lot of feedback from this. I failed my first driving test in part because of what I still believe 25 years later was a bogus reason. I love this.
Still fighting.
At one point, the proctor had me turn my parents' car down a residential street, and there happened to be a large box in the middle of the lane in front of me. I judged that there wasn't enough space in my lane between the box and the curb, so I slowly and carefully went around the box in the opposite lane since there wasn't other cars, but the guy berated me for being unsafe. It was brutal. I'm sure he did his job, but taking it out on a 16-year-old was a bit much. Yeah, I'm sure his nerves are shot, too.
Brutal.
All right, why don't you do this one? Couple more.
Okay, this is Michael. When I was learning how to drive, my dad wanted to teach me how to use a stick shift. Yes, I'm Gen X. So he got in the car with me, and he started to teach me how to use it as we were driving in our neighborhood. Unfortunately for my dad, I was not doing it correctly and was getting frustrated, and he was getting frustrated with me. Through this frustration, I was getting upset, so much so that I put the car in park and got out and walked home, leaving my dad to drive the stick shift car home alone. I'm so glad that shift stick cars are obsolete because I couldn't imagine teaching my daughter how to drive with one.
It is tricky, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I learned on. Is this our last one, Andy? Is that right? Two more. Three more.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, we have a bunch more.
Four.
We'll just pound through them, really. Here we go. This is from Colette. I learned to drive in L.A. and now live in Texas. Once you know how to drive in California, everywhere else is easy, so your kids have to go that going for them, too. The biggest struggle is parallel parking. My dad kept telling me to cut it when backing up, and I had a full-on breakdown, but he kept yelling, cut it! Cut it! But couldn't explain what that meant. Now we know it just meant hard the reverse wheel when backing up into the spot. My younger sister got the best after me being the trial child. Also learning to drive at the beach, there are lots of birds, so I had to learn to stop for them for the swarm. They will move away. That's funny. Tracy.
That's awesome.
At 15, I went through my first traffic circle with my cousin. I pretended I couldn't exit the circle. I just kept doing loops while pretending to freak out. The family still make fun of me for not knowing how to do it, so I keep my little secret joke. Not a horror story, but it makes me giggle at every traffic circle I use now. That's funny. Two more. Go ahead, Mel.
Grace says, my mom was terrified to let me drive in rural Ohio, so my first real experience driving was with the driving school instructor. It was a four-hour lesson that included being yelled at for my lack of experience and hopping from gas station to gas station for his smoke breaks every 20 minutes. Despite all that, I did pass my driver's test on the first try and have only had one car accident.
There you go.
Nice.
And then last one, this is from Shay. Our 16-year-old has trouble focusing. And on a two-lane road, got in the left lane to turn left into oncoming traffic. At 15, he was almost cut off in Birmingham, Alabama, traffic on the interstate. Thankfully, there weren't any cars in the lane next to us. He saw the car merge over and merged over, too. Whew! Yeah, it's that's one of the hardest things is convincing. Well, we have a child with ADHD, and then a bro who the instructor thought he had ADHD because he was just like, oh, whatever. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Be safe out there.
Hey, folks. Thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. We want to give a special shout out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up. Thanks so much for your support of this podcast. To Adam Bush.
Alex Foose and Sam Graham.
Avril Griffiths.
Allison Nelson.
Andy and Darlene Gerton.
Bonnie Galindo.
Brandon Schoenberger.
Brian and Amy Nagel.
Carrie Teague.
Chris Finn.
Christopher and Bridget Finland.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Ibling.
Damaris Diaz Stevens.
Daniel Owens.
Dave and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Dustin Daly.
Jason and Francis White.
Jonathan Ribera.
Jordan Cowan.
Juliana Smith.
Christy Harrod.
Lori Amos.
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Matt and Sam Slazdom.
Michelle Carlson.
Nick Cordell.
Naomi Walker.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Robert and Nellie Capin.
Scott Elliott.
Stephen Menya.
Yvette Williams.
Zachary and Tammy Moyle.
And Tiffany Payne.
Thanks, everybody.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.